Okay, tonight we're going to be studying in this Following the Messiah series, as we have been for the past some months. And tonight we want to talk about the teaching of Jesus and the way that he taught. Lonnie mentioned in his prayer thanksgiving for the video series Following the Messiah. And tonight we're giving consideration to episode 7. It is a geographical study. It's available to you at appianmedia.org, and there are study guides that go along with this. The study guide that you should have prepared for tonight is lesson number 3. If you do not have those study guides and would like for me to make them available to you, if you will send me an email to wtg2@hughes.net, I'll be happy to send you that information. In this study, we're going to focus our attention on 2 major examples of Jesus's teaching. First, we're going to give consideration to the Sermon on the Mount, and then following that, about halfway through the study, we will talk some about the parable of the sower. The place that I would like to begin with you is found in Matthew chapter 5, in verses 13 through 20 is where we'll be doing our reading. The Sermon on the Mount, of course, is contained in Matthew's account in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Let's read together beginning in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." In the video, you have been able to experience the traditional sight that is associated with the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1, it has Jesus coming down from the mountain. And in chapter 8 and verse 5, it has him entering into the city of Capernaum. So the traditional site of the Sermon on the Mount, or the Mount of Beatitudes, is fitting with the geography as it is described in Matthew and Luke's accounts of the Sermon on the Mount and what happened afterwards as he went down to the city of Capernaum. We've already mentioned the fact that the Sermon on the Mount is recorded in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. A somewhat abbreviated version of the sermon is recorded in Luke chapter 6 in verses 20 through 49. It's good for you if you have opportunity to read both of these accounts and then compare the two. The observation is made in Matthew chapter 7 in verses 28 and 29 that the crowds were amazed at Jesus's teaching. It says, "For he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes." This statement reminds us of what Jesus said early on in the sermon. In chapter 5, verses 7 through 20, he said, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For I truly say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus' teaching was not different than the law and the prophets, but it was different than the disoriented interpretations of the scribes and Pharisees. And Jesus' authority comes across in the contrast that he repeatedly uses, beginning in verse 21, when he says, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." The Sermon on the Mount identifies the attitudes, the actions, and the approach or the perspective that is associated with the kingdom of heaven. It's interesting that these stand generally in contrast to those attitudes, actions, approaches, or perspectives that were typical of the scribes and Pharisees. They also stand in contrast to the attitudes, the actions, and the approaches that are typically taken by men. For example, it's not generally thought that the earth is going to be inherited by the gentle, but by the forceful. And it is not generally thought that one should love their enemies and pray for their persecutors. These uncommon behaviors are, however, the norm for the citizens of the heavenly kingdom. So the citizens of this kingdom are sons of their heavenly Father and are therefore like him. I hope that you will read that entire sermon there as is given in chapters 5, 6, and 7, and you will see something of the force of what I'm trying to say here. While the things of this life may be important, they pale in significance when compared to the kingdom of heaven. All of life, according to the sermon, needs to be lived in acknowledgement of the presence of God, and so each life is disciplined according to the presence of God. So as Jesus gives the Sermon on the Mount, he indicates that prayer, fasting, and giving are not for showing other people how righteous one is, but they are to stem from single-minded devotion to God. Dependence is completely upon him and his direction. And so one builds their life upon what Jesus describes as these words of mine. The words that Jesus taught are consistent with what God communicated in the Old Testament. And it is illustrated, I think, very clearly for us in this sermon. So dependence is completely upon him and God's directions, and so one builds their life upon what Jesus gives as the instruction. This approach determines one's whole direction in life and becomes then the immovable foundation against the winds and the floods that slam against us. And these words and this language is what Jesus uses in the Sermon on the Mount as he contrasts the foundation upon which the people of God build their house and the sandy foundation upon which people that do not listen to his word build their house. Jesus taught many things through the use of parables. The word parable refers to a story that is used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. Now, what I want you to do with me now is kind of make a transition from the Sermon on the Mount to giving consideration to one of the special parables that Jesus gives, probably one of the very first parables that he used in the text. It's one of the most fundamental and primary parables that Jesus uses, and it has become known as the parable of the sower. And it's recorded for us in Matthew chapter 13. Again, in Mark chapter 4, and then in Luke chapter 8. Tonight, I would like to read with you from Luke chapter 8, the account that is recorded there of this parable of the sower. Now, it's interesting, as you give consideration to parables, especially those that Jesus gives us, that there are some unique interpretive devices that need to be applied to parables, one of which is that we don't need to interpret the parable in a way that is not consistent with the interpretation that is given in the text. Often when a parable is told, there is not an interpretation given in the text in particular. And so the reader is left to understand the meaning that they get from what the parable says. But in this case, Jesus explains the meaning. So as the case with some other parables that he gave, he gives the meaning and the interpretation of the parable. So we need to be careful in our interpretation of parables, not to interpret them in some way that is not consistent with the interpretation that's actually given in the text. Look with me in Luke chapter 8. Let's begin reading in verse 4. It says, "When a large crowd was coming together, and those from the various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. This is what he said. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great." And as he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." As his disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant, he said to them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard, and then when the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they will not believe and be saved. And those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and yet in time of temptation, fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance." Now, in the video, you were taken to the Cove of the Sower, the traditional site of where Jesus got into a boat and pushed out from the shore to speak to the crowd. The acoustics here are naturally suitable for communicating to a large crowd. Those of you that looked at the video saw two men demonstrate this from some distance. The speaker spoke, and one man up on the side of the hill could hear him very, very clearly. Jesus chose this place, obviously, to be able to communicate effectively to the crowd. Jesus says, "Some seed fell beside the road. The birds came and ate it up. Some seed fell on rocky places. It sprang up, but did not have much soil, and so withered in the sun. Some seed fell among the thorns, and it was choked. Some fell on good soil, and it produced a crop." Now, we've read Jesus' explanation. He says that the seed is the word of God. His explanation is that the seed beside the road represented those who hear the word of the kingdom, do not understand it, and what happens is the evil one comes and snatches the word that was sown in their hearts. The seed on the rocky places represents those who hear the word and receive it with joy, but since it has no firm root, affliction, persecution results in this person falling away. The seed among the thorns is the man who hears, but the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The good soil is the one who hears the word and understands it and bears fruit. Now, when we read the parable and hear Jesus' explanation, the meaning is clear. It's interesting that Jesus told this parable in light of Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. If you look at Matthew chapter 13 and verse 14 and following, you can see that Matthew has included this in his description in association with the parable. In Isaiah's day, there were those who heard but did not understand. They saw but did not perceive. Their hearts were described as being dull, and so they closed their eyes to the truth that God was revealing to them, and so they were not healed. Now this tells us then that the Word of God is designed to bring healing to people, and yet at the same time, it is necessary to understand it, but that people can dull their hearts and close their eyes to the truth that God is revealing to them. And of course, in this setting of this parable, it is illustrated that people sometimes do not understand, they do not perceive, they are dull of hearing, and they close their eyes to the truth that God is trying to reveal. So Jesus' parable of the sower is a clear illustration of this truth. Woe to us if we become like those that are like those of Isaiah's day, or perhaps those of Jesus' day, that have closed their eyes to the truth. I would ask you, as you think about this parable, which soil most represents your heart? I'm glad that you're listening to the word tonight, but it takes more than just hearing it. What do you need to do to produce the fruit that characterized the good soil? These are the challenges that face each one of us as we come before these texts in Scripture. And when we read the Sermon on the Mount, for example, there are things that sometimes jump off the page and impress us. I would ask you, as you think about the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, what impresses you the most in this sermon? As you're thinking about that, perhaps a little bit later on, we can talk in more detail about it. What challenges to your own perspective and your own manner of life are presented in this Sermon on the Mount? What I would like for you to do is to be able to select a series of verses or a paragraph from the Sermon on the Mount that actually convicts you, and think about why these verses or why this paragraph stands out to you and challenges you. And I'd like for you to be able to share your thoughts with the class in a moment. And as you hide this word of God in your heart, what tends to take it out, like the birds that snatch the word out of the soil that was by the road? What is it that tends to scorch the seed so that it withers and dies? Or what is it in your life that has a tendency to choke out the word? Things that you're worried about in this life tend to choke out your interest in the things of God. And what would it take for the word to take a firmer root in your heart? And what would that fruit look like? You know, I had someone tell me the other day, or ask the question, it seems like that some people just don't get it. Now, he was referring to what is spoken to us in the Scripture, the significance of these words that are designed to bring healing and to give us life. And yet, sometimes I'm afraid, and obviously from his question, he was afraid that some people just don't get it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the parable of the sower and the Sermon on the Mount are very powerful teachings. And when we give consideration to the teaching that Jesus identifies for us, it's not just academic. And it's not just about our social relationships as we come together on an occasion like this and share our lives with each other. But it's about real life issues. And it's about our behavior, and it's about our devotion to God, and it's about hearts that have received the instruction that has been given by God and have disciplined themselves in a way that is submissive in recognition of the fact that God's word is the means of life.